as I said, I don't claim to be any sort of expert on this topic whatsoever. I'll just share with you, I guess, perspectives that help me, like, through challenges and hard times, like, that are a fraction of this type of tragedy that is on everybody's mind. So I'm just sharing with you the things that comfort me a little bit, but in no way should you take it as any sort of end-all and be-all answer to this topic. There really are no answers, and that's what we're going to see. Okay, so I normally talk about this topic anyway when we learn Sefer Vayikra. When the Nadav and Neviu die, the death of Aaron's two children. So I normally talk about it anyway, and now it's like very raw and fresh for everybody, so it's like it's much worse. But if the Torah is a Torah Chaim and the Torah teaches us how to live and guidelines for our everyday life, so unfortunately this is part of life. And so the Torah also tells us how to deal with tragedy, and the Torah is going to give us a response for how we're supposed to deal with these things that come up in life. And so if you look at the Pesukim on top, so we're going to see in the Torah two places, I guess, where we see people in the Torah deal with tragedy or deal with challenges in life or deal with hard things. So one of them is Aaron, and then after that we're going to look at Moshe Rabbeinu. So first Aaron. So v'yichu b'nei ad Aaron, nadav aviyu, ish machtato, v'itznu behen ish, v'yasim alei ketoret, v'yakrivu lefnei Hashem ish zareshe lo tzivatam. They bring this fire that they weren't commanded. V'tete ish lefnei Hashem, v'tzocho latam yamutu lefnei Hashem. So fire comes down from heaven, consumes them, and they die. V'yomer Moshe al Aaron. The very next pasuk, Moshe comes to Aaron and says, Hu asher diber Hashem lemor. This is what Hashem said, saying, in quotations, "Bikrovaya kadesh v'apnei kol ha'am ha'kaved." Through those who are close to me, I'll be sanctified, v'apnei kol ha'am ha'kaved, and I'll be honored in front of the whole nation. The Yizom Aaron, and Aaron is silent. So there's a number of questions on that last pasuk. The whole chid obviously is a question: what Nadav and Aviyu did wrong in the first place. But we're going to focus just on Moshe's response and Aaron's response. First of all, like Moshe says to Aaron, like Hu Hashem Diber Hashem Lemor B'Krovai Kadesh. This is what Hashem said. Like, did Hashem say this? There's no pasuk anywhere in the Torah quoting Hashem as saying this. Like, where did Hashem say this? Did Hashem say this? Where did he say this? So we want to understand where Hashem actually said this. Number two, what's Moshe trying to do? Is he trying to comfort Aaron? Like, Moshe, like is he trying to be menachem him? Like, this is what Hashem said? Or is he trying to, like, give him tochacha, like, reprimand him? What exactly is Moshe trying to do when he says that to Aaron? Number three, what is Aaron's response? Is that a good response that Aaron has? Is he consoled by Moshe's reprimand or by Moshe's tanchumim, if it's a comfort? What kind of response is Aaron's response? Is that something that we're supposed to emulate and follow in Aaron's reaction by doing that, by being silent? So actually, just by, I was at the Levaya Motzei Shabbos, and there were no words said. Actually, it was just Kaddish and Kelmale and some Tehillim. And at the Shiva, I was there Monday morning, which it was like the worst Shiva house I was ever at, I think, understandably. So Rabbi Berman said, and like I only realized this afterwards, that it's the Minhag Yerushalayim, when there's such a tragedy of a small child like this that passes away, that they don't give hespedim because there is nothing to say. But after they did everything, so the head of the Chaver Kaddisha said to Rabbi Berman, you could say something now. And he said, like, I had nothing to say. Like, I just had nothing to say. There was nothing I wanted to say. There was nothing that I could think of to say. And he's not someone with no words to say. He's a very intelligent, bright, articulate person, actually. And I only afterwards I realized it's like that actually is exactly what Aaron experienced. But Yidom Aaron, like, there is nothing to say. So I found that comparison so striking for me. Anyway, what is that for Yidom Aaron? Is that a good response? And what exactly is Moshe telling Aaron when he says to him, Hu Asher Diber Hashem? look at some different approaches and hopefully gain some insight from what they tell us. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Hu Asher Diber Hashem, Hey Chan Diber, where exactly does Hashem say this? V'na Wa'ati Tisham Le'Bnei Sheh V'Nifdash Bechudi. So when the Torah is speaking about the forming of the Mishkan, so Hashem says, I'm going to testify there to Bnei Sheh V'Nifdash Bechudi, and they'll be sanctified through my honor. So Chazal, I don't read it Bechudi, that they'll be sanctified through my honor. Rather, b'mechubadai, through those who honor me. Meaning, the mikdash will become sanctified through those who honor Hashem. Amar lo Moshe l'Aaron. So Moshe says to Aaron, Aaron achi yodei yitzi shitzkadesh habayit b'myuda ashel makom. I knew that the Mishkan would be sanctified through those who know Hashem, through those who are close to Hashem. Ve'yitzi savor, o b'yo b'cha, I thought it would be through me or you. We're the ones who are closest to Hashem. Achshav ro'ah nishem dolim mimeni mimcha. But now I see, look, Nadav and Avihu, they were even greater than me and you because the whole mikdash now is sanctified through their death. Everyone sees, like, you better be really careful in the mikdash. You, like, stray one iota, look what happens. And so, and like, these were Nadav and Avihu were tzaddikim. They weren't Rishon. They were known as, like, big tzaddikim. And they strayed a little bit, and through their death, look what this brought about. So first of all, what's Moshe trying to do to Aaron? To reprimanding him? No, he's trying to comfort him. I don't know if I would find this comforting, but it appears that that's what Rashi is explaining in Moshe's words. And what's Aaron's response? Ve'yidom Aaron, kibas charashti katal. He receives reward for his silence. Umas chakibas nitechid imal hadibas ne'amar lo levadol parashat shtuyayan. So the way that Rashi looks at this is that this was actually the response that Aaron had, that he was quiet, that there's nothing to say. Like, he accepts Moshe's words and he's silent. What's his reward? A few psukim later, so Namralo Labado Parshat Shtuyayin, it says, V'idav Hashem al Aaron. That's the only time in the entire Torah where we have those words. Every other place, that's the most popular pasuk in the Torah, but how does it appear? Yidav Hashem al Moshe Lemar. Yidav Hashem al Moshe Lemar. This is the only time in the whole Torah where we have Yidav Hashem al Aaron Lemar, where Hashem speaks only to Aaron himself. So it's in the schus of his accepting, like, in silence, whatever Hashem did. This is like the low alien, and none of us should ever know of such tragedy. Everyone in their own way has their own pekalach and their own challenges and their own things that they go through. And according to Rashi, what Aaron's response is that he accepted it in silence. What does that mean? The way I look at this is it's like if you have a tapestry and a beautiful picture that's woven together, and you turn it to the other side, so what does it look like? It looks like a big mess. It's like all these knots and strings hanging down, and it looks disgusting. And then you turn it over, and it's this beautiful piece of work that was woven together. And that's how I picture life in this world. Look at the world today. There's sickness and disease. There's terrorism and illness and, like, people tragedies and depression and horrible things that exist in this world and things that make no sense. And we're looking at all the knots in this world. We're looking at all the strings hanging down that make no sense. And the other side of it, though, is, like, somehow maybe after Meva Esrim, we will see how all those knots came together to weave a beautiful picture. But in this world, we experience it as bad. We experience it as a knot. We experience it as horrible, as not making sense. And someone that's on the other side of the tapestry can't understand any way that this is good. It doesn't look good. And so what Rashi's telling us is that somehow Aaron was able to accept that. Like, accept that this is bad, but have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there's a bigger picture that's being woven together. And maybe after Meva Esrim, like, will understand this. I remember, I'll just share with you my own, like, tiny challenges that I've experienced. A few years ago, I had a miscarriage at, like, an early week in pregnancy. And it was hard. First of all, it's a very common thing. You shouldn't know. But if you do know, you shouldn't be scared, because it is a very common thing that a lot of women experience. So I was understandably very sad. And it was triplets even. It was very upsetting. It's like a whole medical procedure you have to go through afterwards also. So, okay, I got over that. It was okay. And then a few weeks later, thank God, I like became pregnant again. And there was a heartbeat, but it was a very slow heartbeat. And then I miscarried again. So I was understandably sad again, but I was okay. And like, I trusted Hashem, like whatever he does, like I don't understand what Hashem does, but like I know there's a rhyme and a reason, even if it doesn't make sense to me. So a little while later, so I was expected again, thank God. And like I got over that like hump of the first few weeks and the early weeks where it is more common to have a miscarriage. And I was in my 20th week. I was in my fifth month already. I was already shelling. My kids knew. I couldn't talk about it by that point because like I was like so nervous. So like they could tell them. It was obvious. And then the 20-week sonogram, I went for it. It's like the big sonogram where they like measure everything and check everything. So I took my husband with me, and I don't like to pull him out of yeshiva, but I just felt like I needed him. So I took him with me, and we went to the 20-week sonogram, and I got there and lied on the table, and I see the doctor like moving her finger around, and she's like, and there's a whole baby. By that point at 20 weeks, it's a whole baby with two arms and two feet and everything. And she's like, there's no heartbeat. And I just froze, like I couldn't believe it, like I couldn't believe this was happening again. And like I was so excited already, like it's a whole baby, like now this is it this time. And like there were tears, I couldn't move, I was like crying. I remember the first thing I said was, I know Hashem loves me. And like then we just couldn't move. Like it was like one of the saddest times in my life. That experience, like one of the things that comforted me was like, first of all, not understanding, not knowing like why Hashem does anything, but I know he's good. I know that he loves me, which I really believe is like the answer to overcoming any sort of anxiety and depression and challenge and hard things. The other thing that comforted me was that this is gonna, and then after that there's like a whole delivery. It's not just a medical procedure. It's like I saw the baby, you know, like you see that baby, like there's a whole delivery after that at that point in pregnancy. So I remember I read this article by Ramosha Wilson, and that it gave me nechama that this is gonna always be my child. So like I'm going to meet him after, it was a boy, I'm going to meet him after Meir Esrim, like, he's going to always be my child. Like, so we shouldn't know of these tragedies, but when they happen, like, we have to know, like, we can understand, and everything we go through is for a reason, even if, like, it makes zero sense to us. I think that's what Rashi's telling us a little bit. We'll move on, we're going to see some other approaches. If you look at the Ramban, so he understands a little differently. First of all, he says, "Uledati b'derech hapshat in tzorech l'chozah, k'dvar Hashem gzeirotav machshavotav v'inyan drachav, v'dibur yomar b'chol ila." So he says, when it says, "Hu Hashem diber Hashem," and Moshe is telling Aaron, "This is what Hashem said." So he says, "You don't need to go through. Oh, where did Hashem say this? Oh, Hashem said this over here." Like Rashi finds a pasuk, and the Eben Ezra says, "Oh, he said this," but we don't have an exact pasuk in the Torah that Eben Ezra. Right, but like not every last thing that it says, like that Hashem said, is recorded in the Torah. Just like not everything is recorded from Avram and Sarah's conversations in the Torah. We have what we need in the Torah. So it says, "Hu Asher Diber Hashem." According to the Eben Ezra, like Hashem actually said this, but we don't know where he said this. We don't have it recorded. The Ramban says you don't need to go through all of that in Sorech L'Chozeh. Kidvar Hashem gzirotav machshavotav inyan drachav. When it says Hu Asher Diber Hashem, it doesn't mean this is what Hashem said. This is what Hashem decreed. It says this is Hu Asher Gazar Hashem, and that's he quotes Pesukim where we have that word Dibarti Ani Libi, where Shlomo HaMelech and Kalat says he spoke with his heart. It doesn't mean like heart. I need to tell you something. He didn't actually verbalize. When it says Dibarti Ani Libi, it means this is what I thought. And so what Moshe is telling Aaron is Hu Asher Gazar Hashem, like he's saying, Aaron, this is what Hashem decreed. So also he's trying to be menachim him. And then the Yidom Aaron, if you look at the Ramban, the difference over here is Shaya Bucha Bakol the Ashatak. So Ramban says not that Aaron was immediately silent, that he just like accepted Gzeirat Hashem right away. It's almost like the Ramban's more real for us, like more human, like you could be human. You had there's a hard thing, you experience tragedy, Chalila, Mavaveinu. Like you could cry, you could validate the pain, validate the loss, validate the emotions that you're feeling. But then the ashatak. But then Aaron was able to conquer those feelings, let's say, of hopelessness and void, and he was able to be silent afterwards. Okay, so Ramban adds in that human peace and validating peace, which I think is very critical for things that we might go through. If you look at the Barbanel, the Barbanel has a very different approach. The Barbanel, so I gave you the whole piece there, but I don't want to go into every word, but you're welcome to on your own. So the Barbanel, when he's dealing with this question of Hu Asher Dibar Hashem, where did Hashem, Moshe actually say, where did Hashem say this? What's Moshe telling Aaron? Hu Asher Dibar Hashem? So if you look at the underline, V'nir Elisha Amar Zeh, Amar Shene'amar Lo Bahar Sinai, V'gam HaKohanim HaNigashim Al Hashem Yitzkadashel. Where did Hashem say this? Hu Asher Dibar Hashem B'Krovaya Kadesh? So what does Kedusha mean? Like one of the classic explanations of Kedusha is, what's Kedusha? To be separate. So it says, what does it say by Har Sinai? V'gam HaKohanim HaNigashim Al Hashem Yitzkadashel. That we're all at Har Sinai, but there's like a fence, and we can't go onto our Sinai. But who's in front of the fence of Klal Yisrael? In front of the fence of Klal Yisrael are the Kohanim. They're even closer. So, but what does it say over there? V'gam ha-Kohanim ha-Nigashim Hashem. The Kohanim, who are even closer to our Sinai, Yitzkadashu. Even they, who are so close, they need to be separate. They can't they can't touch the mountain. They also need a fence, even though they're closer than the rest of Klal Yisrael's fence. So Penny Fruits Behem Hashem, Kizo he attaz Harala Inyan and Vaviva Domimahem. So what the Barbanel is saying, and people in Vayikra will understand this reference, and the Ramban talks about this in other places, that what is the Mishkan? The Mishkan is really just an outgrowth of Har Sinai. The same way that by Har Sinai we have Hashem on the mountain, and then there's a fence, and surrounding the mountain is the Kohanim, and then on the outer layer is Klal Yisrael. So that's the same exact setup as Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the center, then the Kohanim and Leviim surrounding, and then Bnei Yisrael on the perimeter. The Mishkan is just a portable Har Sinai. The Mishkan was a perpetuation of Har Sinai, that it shouldn't be just a one-time experience of like Hashem coming to us. It was supposed to be taken with us every single day of the Mishkan. So what is Moshe telling Aaron? Hashem already told us by Har Sinai, even the Kohanim who come close to Hashem on the mountain, Yitzkadashu, even they need to don't go too close. So what's Moshe telling Aaron according to the Barbanel's approach? Is he trying to comfort him? He's not trying to comfort him. What's he doing? He's reprimanding him. He's giving him tochacha. He's saying, Hashem already told us this. You're surprised none of any of you died. They went too close. Hu Asher Dibar Hashem? Hashem already told us this, that the Kohanim can't come too close. Even Nadav and Avihu, who could come closer than the rest of Klal Yisrael and the Mishkan, they can't come too close. They can't do it in a way where they're not allowed. And so Moshe is giving Aaron tochacha. How does Aaron accept this? So if you look at the next underline, Ava perish v'yidom Aaron, hu shenefach libo v'ya ke'evin domim, v'lo nasach haro b'bechli b'mispeh, So what's the Gizom according to the Barbanel's approach? It's like the four levels of existence. According to the Kuzari, there's a fifth level, but the four basic levels are Domim, Tomeya, Chayim, Medaber. What's Domim? A Domim is a completely inanimate object. the Yidam Aaron, is this a praiseworthy thing? This wasn't a praiseworthy thing according to the Bar Banel. According to the Bar Banel's approach, the Yidam Aaron is like the Nasik Ka'evin Domin, that he becomes like this lifeless rock, like all life was taken out of him. It's like he died with his children almost, like, or at least at that moment, he became totally numb. And he didn't cry because of, like, Rashi or the other approaches, like, that he accepted the will of Hashem, or, like, he had no questions. He didn't cry or say anything because he was lifeless. Like, he had no life, like an inanimate object. And that's why you don't matter. Okay, so according to that approach, it would not be something that we emulate. If you look at the Ksava Kabbalah underneath, so the Ksava Kabbalah later, Meforesh, so he writes, HaRamban Amar Mitzchila Haya Bocha V'achar Kach Shatak. So the Ramban wrote that, oh, first Aaron was crying, and then he's able to gather himself, trust Hashem, and accept the Gzeira, and he's silent. And the Ksava Kabbalah writes, he's like, this can't be. If that's true, that Aaron was crying and then he's quiet, so what should it have said? If you want to say someone's like, be quiet, so what do you say? Like, shtok, right? So it should have said, v'yishtok Aaron. What's v'yidom Aaron? Stika means there was crying and then I stopped. So if Aaron was crying and then he was silent, it would have said v'yishtok. So he says it can't be that that's what happens, like the Ramban wrote. So instead, what is right? If you skip down, amnam lashon zaman hunach bepretu. So the next Rosh HaTeva could be a number of people. The Rav Shlomo Papillon. There's a number of people that it could be. It's a person. So what's zaman? Al hashtika haritzoni. Shemus kam betzono lishtok. V'hu lashon hashva'a shiviti v'damamti nafshi. What is v'yidom Aaron? So what he's adding in is v'yidom isn't just that he was quiet on the outside. V'yidom Aaron is that it's like kol dama medaka, like Bili Eliyahu by Har HaKarna. There's like a silence. It's like not just an outer silence. It's an inner silence. Like he was at peace. He was at total equilibrium and at peace with whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. But Yidom Aaron, he was okay with it. How is Aaron okay with this? So it's obviously in line with Rashi's approach and the others, as opposed, not the Bar Banel. But the Yidom is not just an outer silence, it's an inner silence. And that's the end. Lizah Markan V'Yidom Aaron Megid Shevchosho Aaron Shayashotik Beratzum Gamor. He willed this, it was like he was okay on the inside too. It wasn't like his heart was crying and he silenced his lips. So I'll share with you something I once heard from a Chaim Waxman. Klal has no shortage of tragedies in our history. So one of our greatest tragedies and horrible things that we've been through were the Asara Harugi Malchus. Which we speak about on Yom Kippur. It's part of the davening and Misaf Yom Kippur. So if you look at the davening over there, so one of these worst ones we see is what happens to Rabbi Yishmael. So it's actually machlokas. I'll share with you in a moment. Mama od bacha alav bacharat. So look how Rabbi Yishmael is crying. Bathliya lekol b'chiyatosh Rabbi Yishmael amda. Tower yafil b'li b'chanda. V'shala me'ir avia chayato lehamida. Niyet b'liya davayza lasoto lashir oro me'a panav shala me'ita. What do they do to Rabbi Yishmael? What's his death? They each die this excruciating death, the Asarim Ugemachos. What do? They like comb off his skin. They peel off the skin from his face. V'lo ikev davay zeh lasoto. K'shiv yilim kom tfilin. And they reach the place where his tefillin was, so he returns his neshama to his maker within this excruciating death. Malachim in Shemayim see this excruciating death of Rabbi Yishmael. And they say to Hashem, Zu Torah v'zu schara. This is Torah and this is the reward. Look at Rabbi Yishmael. This is the reward for a tzaddik like Rabbi Yishmael. This is the reward for these tzaddikim who just serve Hashem b'tmimas. And I can't think of two finer people than Rabbi and Mrs. Berman. They're like the most upstanding, yashar, unassuming people. Zu Torah, zu schara. That's what the Malachim say. This is Torah, and this is the reward for serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Tabas Kol Mishamayim, a Bas Kol comes out from heaven. In Eshma Kol Acher Esoch and Olam Lamayim, the Bas Kol comes out and says to these Malachim, like, quiet, like they're going to question the ways of Hashem. I'm going to return the world to water. L'tohu b'vohu ashid hadamayim. I'm going to return the world to like. That big, like tohu bavahu, to a big, like hullabaloo, like before the shesh yisimei brishis. Gzir hilma fanei kabula misha sheda imayim. Like, this is what the gzira is. So I hear what Rabbi Marksman say on this, what we say in Yom Kippur. In the Gemara, it's about Rabbi Kiva that the Malachim say, Zutor Rav Zuzchara. In the Medrash, it's about Rabbi Shmuel. But it doesn't have that lashon of tohu bavahu. But what is that? Like, I'm going to return the world to Tova Bahu? Why not just say, be quiet, don't ask. What's this imagery of, if you keep asking me what's going on with Rabbi Shmuel, I have to bring the world back to Tova Bahu. What is Hashem telling the Malachim? So I heard him explain that you want to understand what's going on with Rabbi Shmuel. You want to understand this point in history, like what's going on with this family that I know back in my community, and what's going on with this tzaddik, and why are they suffering, and what's going on with me, why am I suffering? You want to understand this point in history? Okay. I have to unravel the entire creation, right? Meaning, do you know, like, what Hashem's plans are? Do you know, like, why this is going on right now? I always, those lines in Kari Bon, like one of those Mirrors Friday Night, they always make me think of this, like, Lu Zichya Adam Shinin Afin, like, even if man lives for 1,000 years, they or like we would still not understand, like, the ways of Hashem. Even if we lived 1,000 years, you want to understand this point in history? So Hashem says, okay, I'll bring the world back to Tohu Bavahu, and then he'll show you everything that happened in this world and everything that was coordinated and this, and that, to show you why this thing had to happen in this year, at this point, on this day, and then you'll understand why this had to happen. We have no idea. We have no clue. And so I think that's what the Ksav HaKabbalah is telling us with the Yidom Aaron. That it's like the Kodam Amadaka, the like Shiviti Vidomati Nashida, he was okay on the inside too. Like, I'm like a little tiny, like, pinpoint in history. Like, I don't know why this happens or why that happens to me, to anybody else. Like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Like, I can't claim to know. To me, it makes no sense. But, like, I could trust that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, like, there's a reason. For me to understand it, like, I would have to be Hashem. I'd have to, like, Hashem would have to bring the world back to Tohu Bavohu when we sew everything together. Like, Yuzah Levi Nekuzavi, so he says, Ilu Yedati Peyiti. Like, if I knew, I would be him. Like, if we knew and understand, we would be him. Like, we can't know and understand. So that's the Ksara Kabbalah. So lastly, before we move on to Moshe, so the Rashbam has a totally different approach, which I think is somewhat practical for us. The Rashbam understands this whole episode of Moshe and Aaron's response, and what Moshe is telling completely differently. So we look at the Rashbam. V'yimutu l'fnei Hashem, u'miyad k'shasham Aaron haya yotzeh l'niach avodu l'tadar banav. So the Nodwen of you die, and what does Aaron want to do? He wants to, like, break down, like, you freeze, like, I can't do anything now. Like, life freezes. Like, lo aleinu, there's a tragedy. Like, you can't move. For Yomer Moshe Aaron, al tizadeh, va'al tivkeh, va'al techdal min havudu, ki adavar hazeh asher en yomer lecha hu asher diber Hashem. What does Moshe say to him? Like, don't mourn, don't cry, don't stop doing the avodah, Aaron. Because what I'm about to tell you, this is what Hashem wants. What does Moshe tell Aaron? B'kuraya kadesh v'apnei kol ha'am kaved. What does that mean? So everybody else understood that pasuk to mean, B'kuraya kadesh, who are the kuraya? To those who are close to me, I'll be sanctified. Who are those who are close to Hashem? Who is it referring to? Nadav and Avia. So the Rashbam says differently. B'kuraya kadesh, to those who are close to me, I'll be sanctified. The Kohanim Gedolim Hakruvim Alei L'Shatini and Yerushalayim Kadosh. Through those who are close to me, meaning through the Kohen Gadol, there's no one closer to Hashem than the Kohen Gadol. Through you, Aaron, B'Krovai, through you, you're close to me, I become holy. V'Shaloy Yitzchala Hashmi V'Avodati. Don't be mechal on my name and my service. Shekin Amar Li Hakadosh V'Hakohen Agadol Me'achav. Where did Hashem say this? So it's actually like fast forward. There's no like order in the Torah. It's not necessarily in chronological order according to Rashi and many others. Where did Hashem say this? So if you fast forward to Vayikra Chaf Aleph, brought the psukim here underneath, when the Torah is telling us the laws of the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol and who they could become Tamei to. So a regular Kohen can't become Tamei. Except for who? A regular Kohen. A Kohen is only allowed to become Tamei to. A regular Kohen could become Tamei to the seven Krovim, right? Meaning father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, or wife. So the seven Krovim, a Kohen could become Tamei Tel. A Kohen Gadol, could a Kohen Gadol ever become Tamei Mes? The only exception is a Mes Mitzvah, there's nobody else to bury him. Otherwise, what's the halacha for a Kohen Gadol? So it tells us, V'Kohen HaGadol Me'achav Eshe Yutak Ha'Roshol Shemen HaMishcho Emilei Edol Le'Bosh HaRabigadim Et Roshol Le'Yifra. He should never like grow out his hair. U'Begadav Le'Yifrom. He doesn't let, like, you know, today we do Kriya, like, he doesn't go through the regular signs of mourning. The alkol nafsho meis lo yavol, the aviv limo lo yitama. Even his own mother and father, he doesn't become tame. He doesn't take off to sit a week of shiva. Why? Umin hamikdash lo yatei, v'lo yechalel et mikdash al kaf. He's just going to take off to like wallow in his own suffering and his own loss. Like there's no other kohen gadol. Like what a chol hashem. Like he's going to leave the kohuna gadola to like. To suffer, to wallow in his pain? No. Umin hamikdash lo yitei. And so the Rashbam says, who ashe diber Hashem lemar b'krovai kadesh? Who's b'krovai? Aaron. Aaron b'krovai e kadesh v'pnei kol am kaved. What's Moshe telling Aaron? Is he giving him tochacha? Definitely not. Is he trying to comfort him? Also not. What is he doing? He's giving him chizuk. He's saying, Aaron, b'krovai ekadesh. The mikdash is going to be sanctified now through who? Through you. Through you not stopping to do your vodah. Of course, you just experienced the worst loss, lo alino, that anyone could ever experience. The loss of a child, two children in one day, Aaron experiences. But Moshe is being mechazik, his brother, and he's saying, b'krovai ekadesh. Hashem told us, right? This is how the mikdash is going to be sanctified. Are you continuing to do your avodah? You're going to just stop and break down? Don't stop, Aaron. Like, Hashem needs you, right? The Mishkan needs you. This is how the Mishkan is going to be sanctified. So I think in our own ways, like, there's a big message that the Rashbam is giving to us. Like, sometimes we experience tragedy and suffering or even just tiny hardships. And the things that we go through in life, and when there's a big tragedy, it puts all those little challenges in perspective. But it's like still, we have to validate it's hard, you know? Like, oh, my boyfriend just broke up with me. Or I'm in a bad mood. Or I didn't get into this program I wanted to go into. So now what? Now I just can't get out of bed for a week. I can't go to class because I'm just so depressed over this terrible thing that happened in my life. So what the Rashbam's telling us is that at a certain point, like the biggest Kiddush Hashem is to take whatever we're suffering with and to keep going and to keep serving Hashem and to keep in the everyday, in the regular, like, this was hard, but I'm not going to stop serving Hashem because I experienced a hard thing in my life. I'm going to keep going and serving Hashem. So for every person, it's a different amount of time. For the Kohen Gadol, there's no time, right? But even like in the halachos of Avilas, like, so Chazal has like, and the Torah prescribes for us, like, person's chayv to sit shiva, then there's shloshim for a parent. There's a whole year where we sit and like, and we're in Avilas. But after that time finishes, then we move forward. And you're so in pain that I can't even move. So the Rashbam's telling us, like, that's the biggest Kiddush Hashem. The biggest Kiddush Hashem is that I should be able to continue to serve Hashem in my life, even after the tragedy, after whatever allotted time is supposed to, you know, the Kohen Gadol, or whatever the amount of time is that Chazal tell us we're chayiv in Avilas. So we have to keep serving Hashem even after that. Okay, what I want to move to now is like similar, but where we see something else from Moshe Rabbeinu. This is where Aaron teaches us, and the Torah gives us, I think, for all of us, like, on a national level, this is where we see it in Aaron's life on a personal level. On a national level, Moshe Rabbeinu experienced tragedy also. Where does Moshe Rabbeinu experience tragedy? On a national level. So Moshe Rabbeinu, like, grew up in Mitzrayim, or at least he's born in Mitzrayim, he stays for a little bit. For a while, and then Mitzrayim was a Holocaust. So sometimes you look at those Haggadahs that had really good illustrators, and it was a Holocaust. There were babies being killed and like people dying. We don't have all the statistics like we have of the modern Holocaust, but that's what it was. And so at the end of Shmos, the end of Parsha Shmos, so if you look over there in Parakav Yesh Moshe Al Hashem, Yomer Hashem, Lama Hari Yosel Am Hazeh, Lama Zashachtani, Shlachtani. Moshe has a big question on Hashem, how could you do this? How could you give so much evil to Klai Yisrael? Umei Az Batil Paro Lidaber Bishmecha, Hira La Am Hazeh Veitzel Lo Yitzat Adnecha. And since I came to Paro, you sent me, I came to like do what you told me to do, it's just gotten worse, and like you haven't saved them. So Hashem answers Moshe, you're gonna see now what I do to Paro, and I'm gonna take them out. Look what Rashi says there. Rashi has a fascinating comment there. You're gonna see now what I do. So Rashi says, her heart tell me, Dotai. Moshe, you were Mahara, you doubted my ways, you questioned how I behaved. That's not like Avraham. Avraham didn't question my ways. I told Avraham, like, Yitzchak's going to be like the aunt, like his descendant, and through Yitzchak, like all of his descendants are going to come. And now I tell you to put Yitzchak on the Akedah, and Avraham doesn't question me, Hashem says. That's why Hashem tells Moshe, you're going to see now what I do. You're going to see now what I do to Paro. You're going to see what I do to Paro now, but you're not going to see what I do to the kings of the Shiva Anamin. Meaning, what's Hashem telling Moshe? You're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. You question my ways. Okay, you're going to see what I do to Paro, but you're not going to see what I do to the other kings when Klai Yisrael go into Eretz Yisrael, because you're not going to go in. So this is interesting, because what do we normally think Moshe's sin is, that for which he's punished, that he can't go into Eretz Yisrael?
Well, no.
You normally think he can't go in for hitting the rock, the main meriva, and now we're told like, oh, he can't go in because of this. So a little later on, a few precious later, so most like they come out of Mitzrayim, and it's like, you know, they sing this, the not just that they come out of Mitzrayim, but then like all the Mitzrayim die in the Yam, and they come out of the Yam and they sing Az Yashir, Moshe Bnei Yisrael Yashir Azos Hashem. So the Medrash over there tells us, Kach Amar Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Those psukim on top were prefaced with "Umei Az Bat" in a preface in the middle. "Umei Az Bat" to Paro is Beirush Nachai Rela Amazah. Since I came to Paro, it's been so bad for Klai, and you haven't seen them. He sinned ba'az, right? Meaning, Yodei Ani Shechatati Lefanacha ba'az. Shneimar Umei Az Bat ya Paro. Vareita Bato Tolayam. And now look, now Paro drowned. He didn't drown, but all of Mitzrayim drowned in the water. And so now I'm going to praise you with the same word through which I question you. This is the way of tzaddikim, the way in which they sinned, they are mataken in that. And we see, look, Moshe fixed himself. Like, Az Yashir, what's Az Yashir? So when you look at the Torah, at what Az Yashir looks like, or you look in the Tanakh, the way that it's written in the Torah, how does it, the Shira look? It's like the chazakah, ariach agabe levina. It's like bricks on top of weight. It's like everything's like stacked. What does that represent? It's like he's able to sing the Shirat Hashem. Hashem, look, I see now how everything fits together, how everything like is interwoven. Everything's intertwined. Like there was a reason why that had to happen in the Mitzrayim. And like, and this and that, like it was all for this purpose. And he's able to sing this tremendous Shira la Hashem, and maybe this is the answer. It's like maybe if we're just a little patient, like we don't understand things in life, and there's challenges in life, and there's tragedies, chalila, in life. Okay, but someone that's patient, like a little bit of patience, like maybe like we could see, and I think sometimes this does happen, how like things like there's a rhyme and a reason. Actually, a year after that hard thing that my family went through with that baby that we lost, so that was on Chaf Hei Elul. Exactly a year later, my Toby was born, exactly to the day, and like the day that, like on Chaf Hei Elul, and I felt so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, and that's why we called her Tova, that she's a Tova from Hashem, and she is, she's yummy and delicious. And every slap time I say her name, and I call her Tova from Hashem, Tova, Tova from Hashem, like, I named her that to remind me of that feeling that Hashem is good and we don't always know why or how. And like, I still don't know why I had to go through all those things. But once in a while, we see how like things come together, how there's a rhyme and a reason. So maybe that's what Az Yashir is. It's like Moshe is able to sing the Shira to Hashem, how like things are interconnected and interwoven and intertwined, and like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is drawing a bigger picture. But what about when you don't see it? You don't always see it. Okay, maybe if I'm just patient, like, I'll see how this was meant to be. And, like, I'll see how this was Latova. You know, like, I'll see how this was Gamzu Latova. Which we also say a lot. Gamzu Latova. So, we don't always see that, though. Can anyone ever say, like, you know, like why, you know, like there's no answers. Like how are we supposed to explain like big tragedies in this world, things that like we can, like then we could sing a Shira, and maybe if I'm just a little patient. So this is what Moshe Rabbeinu struggled with his whole life. If you, as your Shira, they get her seen, I hear the ego. So one of the things that Moshe requests of Hashem in Shmos Lam and Gimel, Yomer Moshe al Hashem, Ve'eyata Omer Elai Ha'al Eta Am Hazeh, Ve'ata Elohu Zatani Ad Asher Tishachini, Ve'ata Maiti Zaticha Beshem, Ve'gam Matatichim Be'nai, Ve'ata Imna Matatichim Be'necha. So Moshe says to Hashem, if I found favor in your eyes, Hodiyini Na'achachacha, show me your ways, Ve'edacha L'man Amtachim Be'necha. So Chazal tells in the Gemara and Brachos underneath that what was Moshe asking when he says Hodiyeni na drachecha? So if you look at the underlines, be careful, Hodiyo drachav shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hodiyeni na drachecha, Amar lefanav Ribono shel Olam, mipnei ma yesh tzadok v'tov lo, v'yesh tzadok v'ra lo, yesh rasha v'tov lo, v'yesh rasha v'ra lo. This was Moshe's question that plagued him his whole life. Like, okay, he understood maybe a little glimpse at Az Yashir of how things are woven together, how things could like make sense a little bit, and he was able to sing Az Yashir. But this is after that, and Moshe is still struggling. Like, not everything makes sense in this world. What's one of the biggest things that Moshe couldn't understand? motor of being a cunt into outer self. It's like, here we are, New Shalom, echo this. Like, and Moshe being our greatest leader that ever lived, like, he couldn't even touch it. He couldn't come in. He could see it, but he can't come. How painful for Moshe being there, like, to not be able to be in this Eret Hashem, in this, like, unbelievable land. And other tragedies, this is what Moshe wants to know. What's Hashem's answer to Moshe? So if you look in Pasuk Chaf Aleph at those psukim, V'yomer Hashem, hinei makom itiv nitzata al hatzor. I'm going to place you like in the rock. Again, like in the tzor. V'sakuti kapi alacha aravi, v'asiruti kapi v're'ita lachrei panai lo yirai. Like, you could see my back, but you can't see my face. Meaning, sometimes you could understand it in hindsight, but like, you won't be able to understand it like in real time or beforehand. Sometimes maybe in hindsight. What's the tzor? So there's a lot of like rocks. One of the biggest rocks that like, one of the things that comes up a lot is another song that Moshe sings. Moshe sings as Yashir. There's another song in Bamidbar that Klai Yisrael sing. And at the end of his life, Moshe sings another song. What's the other song that Moshe sings? He sings Shirat Hazina. What's Hazina? First of all, it has those same two letters of Oz. It's almost like this is a higher level. This is the bigger tikkun for Ume Az Bati Aparo of questioning Hashem's ways. What does he say in Hazina Moshe, Rabbeinu? Hazina Hashem v'adbeira v'tishma eretz imekri yaruf k'mat ha'dekri tizak ha'tam rati k'shirim alei deshuk v'yivim alei esaf. Hopefully a lot of you know this by heart. K'shem Hashem akra ha'v'godo le'lokinu hatsur tamim pala. That rock, Hashem, I'm not going in because I hit a rock. Because I hit the rock instead of talking to the rock because I took water out of a rock. Like, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu can't go in. All this imagery of the rock, it made no sense to Moshe. It makes no sense to us. There's a lot of things that make no sense to us. Why does this family have to suffer? Why does that couple have to suffer? Why does this person have so much hardship and tragedy in their life? It's like the age-old question. It's not a new question. This was Moshe Rabbeinu's question. What's Moshe Rabbeinu's like, gift to us? His gift to us is his hazina. So Chazal tell us that Shiras Hazinu is the ultimate tzedek hadin. Hatsur tamim pa'alav. Hashem is a rock. Tamim pa'alav. His ways are perfect. Kichod rechad mishpat kel amina ve'in ala tzedek v'yashahir. Hashem is righteous. Hashem is good. Hashem is perfect. Hashem is complete. Hashem is all-knowing. And we don't understand. You want to know Hashem? You want to really know Hashem? Then you have to know that you don't know. You can't know Hashem in a deep way, in a real way, unless you know that I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know. But I know that Hashem is real and good and perfect. And if you look at Hazina in the Torah, so it looks different than Azir Shiar. What's different about Hazinu than Azir Shiar? So it's not the regular way that a Shira is written. Most Shiras in Tanakh are written like that, like interwoven, like you can find it right away. This one you can also find right away, but for a different reason. It's just two blocks, right? There's a big space in the middle, and like the words are on this side, and the words are on this side. What's Moshe telling us? Meaning, even when it's not interwoven, even when things don't come together, now everything is intertwined and makes sense, what's Moshe able to do? He's still able to sing Az Yashir. He's still able to sing Takash Baruch Hu and tell Hashem Hatzuita Min Palo. Kichod Recha Mishpat Kel Emanah Ve'in Ela Tzadik V'yashahil. And so Be'ezrat Hashem, none of us should have suffering. We shouldn't have tragedies. Well, Elena, we shouldn't know if we tested ever. Should test us ever in any ways. But when we do experience challenges, which are an inevitable part of life, or if we see other people, we shouldn't tell this to them, but we should tell it to ourselves. We should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is righteous and justice, and we just don't know. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give the Burmans a lot of strength their whole life to face this challenge that's going to be with them forever. And He should give us a lot of strength also if a tragedy touches you, that means that it was meant to touch us also. So He should give all kais a lot of strength also. He should only bring us closer to Him. Thank you.